Mira and Harper Audio present The Body Next Door by Maya Chance. Performed by Emily Lawrence, Terry Schnaubelt, Eric Yang, Pete Cross, and Gabriel Vaughn. For Zach. Part 1. Now. Hannah. I'm not completely okay with being one of those spoiled, pretty women you see in new luxury SUVs on their way to Power Bar or to get microneedled, or running into Nordstrom to return some cashmere before picking up their children at prep school and going home to their hot, rich husbands. That's not me. Those women don't smell like lost love the way I do. They don't smell of death. But I have studied those women so carefully, and I imitate their ways so well that I outdo them all. So when my friend from the Seattle Tennis Club, Jory Henrys, calls with the news from Orcas Island, I freeze like an animal in a flashlight beam. My hiding place has been sniffed out, I think. This time, I'm caught. It's 1:45, more than an hour before Oliver and Sibley's school pickup, but I have been summoned by the head of school, Mr. Preller, to talk. He said it was time-sensitive, but didn't elaborate. The meeting must be about the school's fundraising auction. I've sat on the committee for 5 years and counting. Or maybe the school is going to come at me, shark-like, for more of Alan's money. They aren't shy. Jory pings my mobile phone just as I'm making my exit onto Capitol Hill. I ignore it until I'm safely off I-5. Rush hour in Seattle starts at 1:30 these days, and it doesn't let up until after 7. Getting across town to the Huxley School and back is basically my job. I pick up the phone, redial the call, and switch to speaker. I gas my Range Rover into a left turn. Jory's bright voice says, "Hannah, how are you?" "Great. Heading over to the school. I'm guessing I'm about to get roped into even more auction stuff." Jory laughs. "That's why I always just say no to the school. I would never have any me time if I let the school have their way with me. God, as it is, the girls' lacrosse schedule is running me ragged. Listen, I'm calling because I just found out about the news on Orcas, and I wanted to see if everything's all right. With your island house, I mean. And with you." At the word Orcas, my throat clicks shut. I keep my eyes on the wet asphalt rolling out of sight under the Rover's hood. "I'm not sure I know what you're..." "Oh, that's right, you hate current events, don't you?" Jory laughs again. This time I hear a lilt of condescension. Jory has an MBA from Stanford and considers herself to have the intellectual upper hand over me, who can only boast of a high school diploma and subsequent, brief, flight attendant career. Not that Jory has ever used her business degree for anything besides making sure she didn't get screwed in her prenup. "They dug up a dead body yesterday on Orcas Island," she says. "Someone is excavating for a new house. A woman's body." "Alan," I think. My fingers slip and fumble the phone. Just as I catch it, my vision fills up with the red glow of brake lights. I slam my own brakes, jolting hard against my seatbelt. I've stopped with maybe a couple of inches between my front fender and a Prius. My heart beats quick and small. It's a rabbit's heart, the heart of a victim. I carefully drive forward. Jory is still talking. "Near Deer Harbor, isn't that where your island house is? I would just hate it if something like that happened near one of our homes." A pause.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?